Welcome to Tea Time, ladies and gentlemen. Another episode where we will talk to interesting guests in the Caribbean entertainment field. Of course, you're listening to CaribbeanVibesRadio.com and picking us up on your podcast and anywhere else who's carrying our episode. We do want to thank our wonderful sponsors, CVR Promotions, as well as Caribbean American Heritage Foundation of Texas. So this evening, we are going to be talking to a gentleman who is, we're going to, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to bring him right on the show, Nicholas Da Silva. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, my friend? I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for joining us here on Tea Time.
I'm flattered to be here.
Good. By the way, are you sipping on some tea?
I am. I during the day I volunteer at my daughter's school as an art volunteer and started to pick up a little something, so I'm drinking tea now.
Now what kind of tea are you drinking?
I'm drinking some green tea.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You have a touch of honey and maybe a touch of something else in it?
Just the honey for now. I'll try another cup later.
Okay, well, very good. I'm having mine as well, just good old Tetley. Nice. with extra caffeine for the kick, you know?
I hear you.
Well, good. So, Nicholas, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, again, my name is Nicholas Da Silva. I am the founder of a studio called Zuluk in San Francisco. It's a little studio that I created. It's kind of a mini ad agency. I do a lot of design work for advertising agencies. And when I'm not working for them, I help other people, as well as myself, take their ideas and convert them into real, actual brands. Mm. One of my favorite things to work on is entertainment properties that have a multicultural experience. I think that's something that is missing in today's entertainment world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're perfect for this show because, of course, our listeners are truly diverse and have all sorts of backgrounds. And so most of our listeners here are dabbling somewhere in the entertainment field, be it marketing executives, managers who are creating a brand, as you mentioned. It could be people who are interested in even advertising with Caribbean Vibes Radio, cheap plug there, .com. And so talk to me a little bit about branding in 2011 and beyond.
Well, you know, I have to admit, I've been doing this since probably 1989 on the computer. But as a kid, I'm always dreaming up logos, designs, characters, and so forth. But I got a real education in advertising from 1990 to 2000. I worked for an advertising agency. And the owner and the CFO took me under their wings and actually taught me about brand, what it meant to create a brand and how to keep that brand going. They were more on the print side of things. They weren't really into the web, and I actually decided to learn web on my own. Mm-hmm. Because I saw that had a greater reach with websites and so forth. And I left the agency in 2000 and decided to start Zuluk, which was already 4 years in the making. I started in 1996, but decided to go full-time and really start showing my skills and creating brands and putting them out there to the masses. But I wanted to make sure that my brands spoke to everyone, not just a little niche group here or a group of people here and so forth. I wanted to create something that's inspirational to everyone, and it would actually inspire others to come and join me and take their ideas and produce them and so forth.
Okay. So there at Zuluk, you mentioned that you do a multimedia presentation of a brand. Explain to our audience exactly what that means.
I'll give you an example. Flash TV. Back in 97, Flash, I learned about Flash and I fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to create a brand that spoke to animators and storytellers who never heard of the Flash software but wanted to take a chance in telling their story and using the software to do that. So I created a platform online where I saw television and I saw MTV as kind of like a mechanism to create this. So the first thing I did was I came up with the brand Flash TV. Mm-hmm. But instead of using the URL, I came up with the URL I Want My Flash TV, mm-hmm. which is a take on I Want My MTV. Ah. And as soon as I launched in 2000, I had 40 artists online showcasing their work, and it grew to 500.
Wow.
And then in 2002, before YouTube became a big hit on Google, they approached me and said, hey, we're doing something here, and we want to know if you'd like to put your Flash TV on YouTube. And at the time, it didn't fit with my model, because at the end of the day, when you build a brand, it's empowering yourself to stand alone with your brand. And I felt that if I were just to take Flash TV and put it on YouTube, it just gets washed under the YouTube brand and so forth. So I declined and instead went on my own, and I've built my resume over the years because of this. And as well as the other artists who are on the site, they kept their brands and were able to move on and do things with their branding and actually keep their brand. So.
Okay. Now, of course, there was a little bit of a risk, not a little bit, but there was a big risk for you to branch off and go on your own and do this. What gave you the confidence to do that?
Well, you know, for those of us who have like hobbies on the side, that is a very powerful thing, because it gives you a clue that you are able to make it, if you think about it, because you work a 9-to-5, you come home, and you spend four hours doing your hobby, something that you love to do. Mm-hmm. And if you can figure out a way to monetize that hobby, then you're on the road path to becoming independent. So since 1996, I was doing freelance stuff on the side and slowly building it up. So when I made that jump to go independent, I had saved up about $100,000 through in the advertising, just putting money away. A little secret to your guests, those who get a paycheck and you get a raise, don't spend that raise. Put it away and keep living off the original salary that you got, and you'll be able to save a lot of money. And that's what I did. And I worked there for 10 years. I was able to save enough money to start my own studio, and I've been doing it ever since.
Wow. That's a wonderful, wonderful lesson. Now, of course, I got introduced to Nicholas De Silva. I didn't know who you were until I bumped into your brand, your comic book series. Tell me a little bit about the birth of Dread and Alive.
Well, Dread and Alive is a very, very special story. As you know, it's inspired by the country of Jamaica, the history, the people, and the music of Jamaica. But it also is something very inspiring to me, because I was at a low point in my life. I lost my father at the age of 22. And I was actually really hurt by it, because here is a guy that he was my mentor. He showed me the world. I got to travel around the world before I even started high school. I lived in Brazil, Saudi Arabia, Italy, you name it. I've been to pretty much every country, saw the pyramids. Your mentor is it. When someone does that and gives you that opportunity, you don't forget those. And he actually empowered me to be the man that I am today. Wow. So when I lost him, I found solation in reggae music, Bob Marley. I was listening to Bob Marley, and I started to really take in the words, and then getting into Steel Pulse and Third World. And then I said, I need to know more of this music. And it's, I started to research Jamaica. And as someone who loved history, I majored in American Studies and World History. I never knew about the Maroons of Jamaica until I spent my time going into the library, finding a book that was probably lost and had to ask them to reorder a new book, and read up on the Maroons. And from that point on, I became inspired that I have to create a story from this country, because this country is very special. Out of many, one people, right, is a very powerful motto. Reggae, one love, is very powerful. You know, I live in the United States, and there is no one love as a country. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you can go to a reggae show, or you can go to Jamaica, and you will feel one love. And I think that's very important. And that inspired me to create Dread and Alive.
Wow. Now, tell us a little bit about Dread and Alive for those who haven't actually read the comic book series.
Okay, well, it's a comic book series and originally a novel series. It's a story about a little boy named Drew McIntosh who lives in Kingston, and he moves with his father to a compound to help with the Jamaican Maroons. Now, this is a fictional story, But one of the things that I like to do is I like to mesh cultural fact with fiction. I think it tricks the reader into thinking, wow, is this real or is this not real, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so as I started to research, the story is about a young boy who's going to follow in his father's footsteps, but because he displays characteristics, including his long dreadlocks, that Cujo, the village chief of the Jamaican Maroons, is going to make him the predecessor of the special sacred amulet of the Maroons. And the amulet bears the conquering lion of Judah on one side, and on the other side, it has the peace symbol, which is two sides to his character.
Hmm.
He's a peaceful man, but if you hurt other people or you infringe on the rights of others, he becomes the conquering lion and he will defend those people and those the inhabitants and so forth, including Mother Earth.
Wow.
And so this is how the character becomes who he is. And his father dies. I don't want to give too much away, but his father
right.
winds up dying in Jamaica, and the boy comes to San Francisco, and he grows up in San Francisco and becomes this kind of like vigilante then superhero who intervenes and saves the life of a reporter, and from that point on he becomes this kind of like heroic superhero that decides he will use his gift to defend and protect the rights of all living things, which are humans, animals, and the earth.
Wow, that's huge. That's really, really huge. Nicholas, we're going to take a break at this point, and when we come back I want people to get an appreciation of the comic book series, and as you call it, a novel series, and so they can have a full appreciation. We're going to learn a little bit more about some of the characters in the story, and we'll sip on a couple of tea and come right back. Is that all right?
That sounds irie.
All right, perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere, okay? We want you to stay tuned to Tea Time right here at CaribbeanVibesRadio.com, and once again, Tea Time is brought to you by CVR Promotions, as well as Caribbean American Heritage Foundation of Texas. We'll be back right after this.
Chocolate City, check this.
Oh, na 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 nasty.
Reggae Tuesdays is here. It's Reggae Tuesdays, your weekly hotspot where business meets pleasure. Come mix, mingle, and chill at the Carolina Kitchen Bar and Grill. It's Reggae Tuesdays. Sip on some of the finest drink specials or tempt your taste buds with our delicious Southern cuisine. And please, save some room for dessert. Be sure to bring plenty of business cards because you never know who you'll meet. Reggae Tuesdays. Invite your friends and colleagues and anyone who wants to network and relax in an adult atmosphere. Reggae Tuesdays at the Carolina Kitchen Bar and Grill. It's located at University Town Center, 6501 America Boulevard, Hyattsville. That's next to the Mall of Prince George's. For more information, log on to ReggaeTuesdays.com. Reggae Tuesdays is the place to be every Tuesday night from 7 until midnight. Reggae Tuesdays.
Reggae music playing in my head.
Reggae Tuesdays, Washington, D.C.'s weekly addiction.
This station is a proud partner of the Caribbean American Heritage Foundation of Texas. We are a nonprofit organization whose core mission is to highlight and celebrate the rich culture of Caribbean citizens in the United States. We are collaborating with various organizations in Texas and around our great nation to organize events that will spotlight our heritage and our people. We welcome you to visit us at www.CaribbeanHeritageTX.org. And don't forget, June is Caribbean American Heritage Month in the U.S. Let's celebrate it together. One Caribbean, one culture.
And we're back. Tea Time with Fiona here at CaribbeanVibesRadio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you're taking time to sip a cup of tea right now and just listening to our conversation here with Nicholas Da Silva. Ladies and gentlemen, we do want to thank our sponsors, CVR Promotions, as well as Caribbean American Heritage Foundation of Texas. By the way, if you have any comments about the show, you want to join us as a guest, please email us at CaribbeanVibesRadio@gmail.com. All right, so right before the break, we were talking to Nicholas, of course, about the novel series, Dread and Alive. So again, Nicholas, let's pick up right there. You were talking about the character Drew
McIntosh, uh-huh.
Okay, Drew McIntosh, and talking about the inspiration of that character in the story. It sounds a little bit like you.
You could say that. You know, it's I try to mirror my heroes after me and try to share some of the lessons that I've learned in life because it made me successful, you know. And when I say successful, I don't mean to be filthy rich. I'm happy at doing what I love to do. I have a skill, and I never get tired of doing it. I do it every day. But Drew is like me, you know. He cares about his fellow man. He'll extend a hand to help someone and so forth. And he actually cares about what goes on in our world. And when I say like what goes on in our world, I'm not talking about American Idol, who's winning, right, and who's not. Right. I'm talking about the real problems that exist where kids don't have a meal to eat, shoes on their feet. You can look at our planet, the way the destruction of our planet is going on, and all the fighting going on in the war, and the black trade of animals in the world, and even the slave trade and sex trade of young kids and so forth. These are things that are real evils in our world, and I will be using those stories to shed light on them, using Drew as a mechanism for that, because I think more of us need to start telling these stories out there so that we can actually put an end to it, you know?
Wow. During the break, we were talking a little bit off air about, you know, I asked you, I said, okay, so you were inspired to do this when your dad passed. And, you know, what a legacy. You know, you mentioned that your dad is a real big mentor to you. And in essence, his spirit continues to live as you continue to be inspired to bring all these stories up. And, you know, I'm quite sure your dad would be proud.
Yes. You know? Thank you. Thank you.
So in addition to the stories, you've now intertwined music as part of, you know, now we're reading and we also have music that's a part of your novel. Do you like to call it novel series as opposed to comic book series?
Yeah, novel series, because it's a long story. So.
Okay. Very good. And so tell me a little bit about some of the music and the music choice that you've added to Dread and Alive.
Well, as I mentioned, music inspired me and listening to Bob Marley to kind of focus my head into my life now. And when I was first writing the story, I would listen to Bob Marley, Steel Pulse, Black Uhuru, Third World. I love the consciousness of the music and how it spoke to you. And I told myself that when I do this story, I have to have music involved somehow, as whether it's a theme, a supporting soundtrack, and the music must share the same message as the story. So I was really excited when issue number one came out, and then two, and I wanted to get the CD out first. It took issue three to get things to happen because of the music industry and getting the rights and legality and stuff, right. But I think that first CD, it was a very, very powerful CD. All the different artists who were on board, Toussaint, Anthony B, Monsoon, Annette Brissett, Luton Faya. I mean, just blows your mind. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and when you listen to the words, it's like it's part of the words of the story. And it helps the reader get focused about Drew and find out, it makes them want to feel like they're part of Drew and that they're in Drew's world and so forth. So.
Right. And you're absolutely right about that. Talk to me, take us behind the scenes a little bit about when you get into character to create these different stories. Mentally, where do you have to go and where do you go as a creator to come up with all these storylines?
You know, there's a couple of factors that gets me psyched for this. One, I live in the city of San Francisco where there's a lot of diversity here. I was going to be an architect then, but I decided to go on the design side of things. And one of the things that I like to do is take a walk outside, and I like to look up at the buildings. And everywhere I go, I always see a gargoyle in the form of a lion, whether it's a lion's head, his body, his face. And those lions speak to me, you know, and you start to see Drew on a rooftop, you know, and mm-hmm. then you go to the Hate and you see the red, gold, and green, and the juices start flowing and you want to do these stories. So just walking outside and listening to music really gets me set to take the pen and to put words on paper and to put ink onto paper for drawing too.
Wow. It's interesting that both of us could go for a walk and I'm looking up at a building, I'm seeing something totally different.
Really?
it's amazing that we can both look, you know, and that just goes to some of us are creators and some of us are not. And some of us allow ourselves to go in and go deep and some of us kind of live on the surface. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah, yeah. So that's wonderful. Now, do you ever get to a point where, you know, the creative juices aren't running? Or are you just one of those people where you're just wired and zoned, where it just, you can tap into it?
You know what? I have to tell you, sometimes I do get into that gray zone where you just like, you can't put anything down. And I have a fix for that. And it's called multitasking.
So
I'm actually doing two comic book series, and both heroes are kind of entwined together. If you get a chance, and Dreadnought Live issue number 3, there's a sneak peek of my other comic book, and I've made that particular comic book a favorite of Drew and his the boy that he looks after, Anthony. They got the first issue of Hitless. So I'm doing a little bit of cross purposing with my characters, but so when I get into a rut with Dreadnought Live, I switch over to Hitless, which is historical, about the Vietnam War and an African American soldier who is killed during the war by mysterious circumstances, and his legacy is passed on to his kids, who they find out the truth of what really happens and so forth. So I'm able to bounce back and forth, and I can continue to be creative. So I like that.
That's wonderful. It's wonderful. Now, Nicholas, you, in creating Drew, you dared to make him a dreadlock hero. You went there.
Yes.
And so, to my knowledge, that's a first, right?
I guess it is. Now, I've seen some other art out there, but I've been drawing Drew since I was a teenager, actually. So I think in 1984, I had my first drawing of him. But I got serious back after my father passed away and said, hey, you know what? I need to really do this story. My dad's taught me so much. I want to do this in memory of him. So I wrote the first book first, and of course I dedicated the book to my my mother and to the loving memory of my father. So
let's talk a little bit about the parent relationship. We were talking off air a little bit, especially when we're teenagers, we think we know it all and we think our parents know nothing. Then as we get older, we start thinking, geez, I'm becoming my parent. In my thinking, in some of the things, we're hearing their voice clearly guiding us, kind of thing. Talk to me a little bit about the special relationship of parents as it has worked for you.
Well, like I said, I had the opportunity to see the world as a young kid, and I had a mother and father who really, we didn't have tons of money, but we were okay. But the fact was, family came first, and I think respect for your parents was number one, and for adult and for your elders and so forth. And there was one thing that I always continued to learn from my dad. I remember being a kid, and I would go into his den, and he'd have his desk there, and on the wall he would be posting up a newspaper clipping about the Arapaho Indians. My dad comes from a diverse background. His grandfather was Dutch and Cherokee Indian, and his mother was African and Arapaho Indian. And he didn't want us to ever forget our true identity, where we come from, every part of our ethnicity that makes us who we are, because we can learn from these little different things and so forth. So as I started to learn that, I started to understand, hey, my dad is trying to help me. He's trying to explain to me that life is tough, but if you listen, follow our footsteps, you're going to be all right. And I think today's kids, I have a 7-year-old, and one of her favorite phrases, I know that, Daddy. But it's like, no, you don't, but I'm going to try to help you anyway. And, that's the norm, but, at the end of the day, I think the kids will have the epiphany when they're like 29, and they're going to say, wow, my parents. So right, so why not stop fighting it and embrace it, because it can get you where you're going probably even faster, and you can enjoy life more. So that's what I hope that I'm trying to do with the story too, because Drew is a very peaceful guy, and the only time he gets upset is when Babylon is rising and the negative forces are starting to act up and so forth. But other than that, he's peaceful because he knows where he comes from and he knows where he's going thanks to his parents.
Wow, that's truly, truly powerful. And I have boys, teenage boys, and sometimes I'm talking to them. I feel like I'm talking to the wall, but sometimes I do wish I was a fly on the wall, because I know and I've heard them like talking to their friends and giving advice. And I'm mm-hmm. so proud because the words that are coming out of their mouth, like, come on, man, don't do that. Because, you know, that the exact thing that I would say to them. But of course, sometimes I don't get to see it in person. So keep talking, giving great advice, right? And being a great example.
That's true. Yes.
All right. Good. Good. Now, Nicholas, the one thing that you did and the common thread is that you dared to dream. You dared to dream that you could build a character that has dreadlocks and you could build, you stepped out and started this venture on your own and you've continued that journey. Talk to me a little bit about daring to dream.
You know, I was always a daydreamer. I can tell you that. I remember being in school and doodling on the desk and not even listening to what was going on in class. So I'd always had to play catch up at home. Uh-huh. But, you know, I think my history classes really opened up my eyes to learning about history. I mean, at the end of the day, I would read stories and I would be, you know, heartbroken by some of the things that happened in the past, slavery, the wars that happened and the people that have died and so forth. But from that, I would start to daydream about solutions so that it never happens again and so forth. And that's where my quest to tell these stories and so forth, because it's critical. You know, I like the idea of trying to educate someone, but if I can do it in an entertaining way, mm-hmm. then I'm not boring them and they're going to be more receptive to taking what they see and like flipping through it and like, wow, this is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Dread and Alive and if you look at Hitless, my other comic, they sound like they could be real people. You could actually walk down the street and meet Drew and he would mm-hmm. want to go with you and have some tea, you know? Mm-hmm. So I will never stop dreaming because we have problems that need to be resolved. And I want to use those stories to make it happen. And I was telling someone recently that, you know, if you look at comic books, they make up all these really strange villains and so forth. But we have common day villains in the world, from the animal poachers that are just killing off the endangered species mm-hmm. to these slave traders and to the pirates that are hijacking things and so forth. We have common day villains. So if I can try to shed light on that, let us be aware that, hey, we know this is done. We have to figure out a way to stop this and so forth. Maybe it'll make you turn to follow the good path and not to follow the bad path, in a sense, you know?
Wow. Very great point. Very great point. Nicholas, we're going to take a break at this point. And when we come back, I do want to learn a little bit more about what's next. Okay. Because I'm pretty sure as a creative person, I know there's something next, right?
That's right. You bet.
All right, wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you are tuned in to Tea Time. I'm your host, Fiona. And once again, if you'd love to be a guest on our show, do email us at CaribbeanVibesRadio@gmail.com. We do want to thank our sponsor, CVR Promotions, and we want to thank Caribbean American Heritage Foundation of Texas. We'll be back right after this.
Lord, me say the chicken for two tastes good, your hand sweet. What is the secret?
I have none.
Come on, Mavis.
If you tell you can't tell nobody.
But babe, you're the only Jamaican smell me talk to.
All right, me get all of my recipes at Jamaicans.com.
All right, on the internet?
Yeah, them the recipe and chat room forum where people help you when you're stuck.
What is that name again?
Jamaicans.com. Find old friends, chat with other Jamaicans, read old-time stories, news, Jamaican recipes, and more. Check out Jamaicans.com.
And we're back with Tea Time. I'm your host, Fiona, and you're tuned in to CaribbeanVibesRadio.com. I have joining me is Nicholas De Silva, and he does design work, animation. He is the creator of Dread and Alive, the novel comic series. He does some other work, which we'll get into some of the other projects that he has going on right now. We'll get right back into the conversation. Nicholas, let's talk a little bit about what's in store, the future of Dread and Alive. You mentioned that what series is coming up next, by the way?
Issue number 6, which will come out on May 7th. And it's going to, number five, Drew encounters Griffin the Hunter, this poacher who has ties in the Bay Area. And he follows them to their lair and discovers what they're up to. So now in six, he's going to go back during the day with his love interest, Brandy Savage, and the reporter, Casey Forster, and they're going to do a little investigation. And they're going to come up empty, but it's not going to be too empty. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give too much away, but...
No. Just a little bit of a teaser.
That's correct, yeah.
Very good, very good. Now, what do you have in store musically for the comic, what is it, series number seven?
Well, right now we're going to be doing, there's a great track out called Conscious Farmer by Kev. Have you heard of him?
Yes, I've heard of Kev, yeah.
Oh, yes. It's almost a cappella style, and there's something about it when I listen to it. I just feel this sense of connectivity with the track, you know, and it was, for me, it was important to include that on this issue. We also have Roots Underground. They've got a track called Special Place. Hmm. Let's see. We OK has Footloose featuring Tasha Ruzes. Hmm. And who else is on there? We've got a couple more people on there. Let's see. Oh, Taddy P is going to be on there with Tanya Stevens singing Heart of Stone.
Hmm.
And Smiley does Keep the Joy featuring my favorite, Anthony B.
All right. I love the fact that you have established artists, up-and-coming artists that you're giving an opportunity to also expose their music. So this works really, really well.
Oh, yes, I think so.
Yeah, definitely. Now, are you thinking about, because I know you do animation, are you thinking about doing like a TV series maybe?
Yeah, I would love to. You know, there's a couple things that I want to do. One, I would love to adapt Dread and Alive into an animated series. Mm-hmm. Right now, it would be a lot of work for me myself to do, but I'm the rights are currently available for producers to want to bid on doing a series. And I would love to do a three-picture movie, a trilogy mm-hmm. of Dread and Alive. I have the storyline set up and everything, and I just think that the world is ready for this hero with dreadlocks, who actually can probably make us change the way we live and live on this planet and so forth, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm definitely ready.
You know, if nothing else, it's great dialogue because, you know, like you said, we do live in a culture where, you know, we do need to have more room for dialogue, that we all don't look the same and we shouldn't have stereotypes because you look one particular way. So here it is, you know, having grown up in Jamaica, you know, years back, wearing dreadlocks was tabooed in certain households. But now right. We do it as style, and sometimes it's, you know, connected to culture and not necessarily. So here it is, you're adding another dimension to Drew McIntosh, you know, in your mm-hmm. series. So it's great education, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Now, do you ever get feedback from some of your readers? And have you ever been pleasantly surprised or even gotten criticism about your work?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I've only had one bad criticism. Mm-hmm. And everything else has been from mothers who bought the novel for their kids and who actually enjoyed reading the novel themselves. Mm-hmm. And from like a couple of kids I know that actually turned in their teddy bears and now sleep with a copy of Dread and Alive
Aww.
In their arms. Which wow. And I have pictures to prove. I couldn't believe it. And I was like, this blew me away that, hey, I'm doing something right. But I did receive one negative criticism. And, you know, I was surprised at first, but some of the comments were and it said, note to the author, lions do not exist outside of zoos in Jamaica. And I think they didn't understand the symbolism of dreadlocks and the roaring lion and so yeah. forth. And so I kind of laughed it off, but you know, hey, I'm human, you know, so I expect to have at least one or two criticism and so forth. So,
and I apologize for my mom sending you that letter. No, I'm just kidding. I want to give a shout out to my mom who's in St. Elizabeth, Jamaica right now. So,
well, you know, I've bookmarked that because I use it as fuel to continue doing what I'm doing. You know, the fact that this particular person had to read the story to write that criticism, you know, lets me know that people are reading it. And I think that's the most important thing. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, getting criticism or getting praise, it does make you, you know, take a look at your work and see it from other people's point of view. Because, you know, of course it comes from you and, you know, you want people to appreciate your work and also keep you in line.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, another artist would have probably said, can you book me a ticket? I want to go meet this person, you know?
Yeah. We need to have a conversation.
Yes.
Bring Drew with you.
That's right.
So when was the last time you went to Jamaica?
It's probably been, I think, 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to do a trip this year, but I think right now, I was nominated for the Glyph Awards as a rising new star in May. So I will take a trip to Philadelphia to participate in that. And I usually do the Comic-Con venue, but what I would like to do is be able to do something where I can actually come down there and do in a venue where I can actually share the story with kids down there, you know, and maybe go to some schools and so forth. And, you know, I mean, it's just something I do here in the States, and I would love to be able to do that as well over there in Jamaica.
Wow, that sounds great. And I remember, you know, growing up in Jamaica, there were certain series like, okay, now I'm going to age myself, but, you know, like the Hardy Boys and what was it, Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drews, that's right.
And I remember, you know,
I love those. I read every issue. I think there was 49 issues of Hardy Boys.
Uh-huh.
And I think my brother and I had those. And I actually told my daughter about it. I said, you know, for Christmas, I'm going to get the Nancy Drew novels for you. She goes, Nancy Drew? I said, don't worry. It's like Back to the Future. You'll love it, okay?
Yes. But, you know, the beauty about that was I remember in the classroom where we would all read the different series and pass those books along. So before there was Oprah doing, you know, the book club, we were doing it when we were kids. You know, we weren't aware of it. And not all of us could afford to buy the books ourselves, and so we would pass them along, and everybody, well, pretty much all of the class would read those books, and, you know, that was before we'd sit and text and, you know, do all of that stuff. So I would love to see where the kids do adapt that with some of your comic books. That I think that would be a beautiful thing.
Yes, and you know, on the Dread and Live website, mm-hmm. I always introduce the first 8 pages of the comic book, of the latest comic book, mm-hmm. for people to read so they can actually get a feel for the story. And for the novel, the first book one, when Drew was a child, I have the first, I believe, 10 chapters up there. There's 18 chapters total, but I want to give a person an opportunity to read the story and get a feel for it, you know? So I think that's kind of a step in the right direction, too, so...
Okay, very good. And speaking of that, let's give our listeners clear direction on where they can learn more about Dread and Alive and some of your other products.
Sure. The official website for Dread and Alive is www.dreadandalive.com. I also have a Facebook fan page, which is www.facebook.com/dreadandalive. And I let people know that I'm independent. I sell my books through my website. I ship orders every day. I hadn't had one angry customer. Everyone's been very happy. So I encourage people to come to the site, explore the site. You'll find some great stuff. You'll learn about the characters. But feel free to purchase the comics through the site, and your order goes out in 24 hours, and I trust you will be happy with it. So,
okay. Okay, very good. And if they want to also purchase the music as well, they can get that from your website?
Yeah, on iTunes, we have the links on the music section of the site, and it'll take them directly to iTunes to purchase it.
Okay, very good. Also, if someone is interested in joining your team in whatever capacity, do you are you looking for any talent or?
Yes, you know, I am. that's the one thing that I think makes Dreadin' Live a great project to work with, is that I'm not, it's not just one person. There's a group of us that actually make it happen. I mean, in order for one person to put out a comic book on their own to the masses, you wouldn't be able to eat, you know? So
how do you go about making selections? Do you have a team that actually manages that portion of selecting the music, or do you do that on your own, or is it a combination?
Well, it's a combination. I'm always looking and listening for songs that I think fits the theme of Dreadin' Live, but I also have a good partner in Soul of the Lion, who handles the paperwork side of it, getting artists and getting the contracts in place and so forth. But then I have the final say on, like, basically the songs that would make it onto the list, and I produce all the artwork for the actual album cover and so forth as well.
Which I've seen, and you do a wonderful, wonderful job of that, just capturing the heart and soul of the character on your album cover. I mean, it's just amazing, amazing.
Thank you.
I want to sign up for your class.
All right, please do. I do one-on-one, so... But, you know, I wanted to mention something about the series. I produce 4 issues a year, and there's a reason behind that.
Okay.
There's 4 dates that I kind of like, I pay homage to. One is February the 6th, which is Bob Marley's birthday. Okay. I think if I didn't hear his music, Dreadin' Live, you wouldn't be able to read Dreadin' Live today. That's February the 6th. May 7th, that's my father's birthday. And that's the second issue of the year that comes out. Okay. The third date is August the 6th, which is Independence Day of Jamaica. This will be issue number 7, and I'm going to have a great cover with Drew and Brandy on the cover, along with Casey. And then the last date, the fourth date of the year, is Halloween, October 31st. And that cover, every Halloween, is always dedicated to the villain, Shadowcatcher. So you always get this creepy, scary cover to represent Halloween, the Day of the Dead, and so forth.
Very interesting. All right. So we can all look out for the next issue coming up May 7th. And how do you advertise and get the information out about?
Well, right. Yeah, I use Facebook and I use Twitter. I'll probably do some stuff with you guys, you know, and because I love what you guys do. And just using the site and word of mouth, you know, I think Facebook has been a really good mechanism for me. But like I said, I love to get my books out into more people's hands and so forth. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, part of the goal of Tea Time is to have conversations about people who are, contributing to the Caribbean, culture above and beyond music. 'Cause a lot of times we love the music and it's powerful. But at the same time, there's some other wonderful projects and products that are on the marketplace, and we just want to highlight those as well. So, yeah. So, any parting words, Nicholas, that you want to share with our listeners?
No, I want to say thank you for having me on, and I do want to say one thing. You know, it's okay to dream, and I wanted to say one thing that I always try to tell everyone is that, you know, a lot of us have like ideas, and we think about an idea, and then we forget about it, and I call those thoughts. But when you take an idea and you produce it and make something happen, then that's a dream come true. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important, that it's okay to dream, and you have to work to make that dream come true. It's just not going to appear for you right then and there. So have fun with it.
Oh, definitely. I love that. Nicholas, I do want to thank you so much for taking time to chat with us here at Tea Time on Caribbean Vibes Radio. And hopefully you can come join us again.
Yes. No, that would be great. I would love to.
Yeah, you're always welcome. And once again, listeners, I do want to thank you for listening to our show here at Caribbean Vibes Radio. This is Tea Time. I'm your host, Fiona. I do want to thank my producer, DJ Solo. Also, our sponsors, CVR Promotions and Caribbean American Heritage Foundation of Texas. Again, this is Tea Time, and it's been a delight having you. Have a good night and good morning.
Mm-hmm.